Thank you, Chad. I do give vocal lessons, Chad, if you'd like some. Humor me. How you doing? Some of you are thinking, oh my gosh, the guitar player is going to preach. I'm one of those people. Excited today. I've been stewing on this message for a few weeks now. If you weren't here during the welcome, I said that I had 2 weeks to prepare this sermon, so it's going to be long. So leave now, all right? Just leave now if you... Yeah, okay. Excited to preach this morning. My name is Nathan Loxley. I'm one of the pastors here. Really tired because I get to sleep on this much of the bed now. You add a third child, and somehow I didn't think it could get worse, but it can. I don't mean like my life is terrible because my child, shut up. She's awesome and she's beautiful. But sleeping on this much of the bed's not fun. I'm not a billy goat, right? I can't cling on to high cliffs. I'm no Stallone, right? Cliff hanging's not for me. So I'm a little bit tired, a little bit worn out, but it's good. Today, I'm super excited because I see one of my better friends, one of my best friends, Mr. John Dennis, sitting here, all the way from Memphis. Thank God that his wife is sitting next to him, because if it was just him, it would not be a great day. Kelly, we're super glad to have you, and sorry to call you out, but y'all came on a great day. Like, this is a great day. You know why? Because today I'm preaching about money. I'm not saying y'all have a problem with it. I'm just saying you just came here on a good day, right? And I thought that telling everyone else that we're talking about money today would be good to do directed toward you, because you don't have to come back next week, but they've got choices around here. So I wanted to break the ice, but welcome here. It's really good to see you. We call John Pinecone. You should ask him why. Okay, moving on. And we're going to talk about money today. And so I know what everyone is thinking right now. Yay, right? That's what we're all thinking. All right, I love hearing about money. And some of you are sitting here thinking, yeah, that's right. It was just a matter of time until the church started talking about my money and how I should give it all to them. I said, well, I mean, Jesus said it, not me. He said, give all your possessions away. That's pretty hardcore. I'm not saying that. I like possessions. Don't you? I like stuff. Stuff makes my life better. Makes my life more comfortable. Less worry. Not just stuff, but even money. Lots of stuff, because we have a very interesting relationship with money, don't we? So today, I start with this question. Which is better? A $1 bill, a $20 bill, or a $100 bill? You can answer me. All of them, John says. Maybe you were here for the right reasons, John. Which one's better? You can say it out loud. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to like point you out. $100 bill. Duh, right? $100. Better. So which one is more valuable? The $1 bill, the $20 bill, or the $100 bill? The $100 bill. Why is it more valuable? Because someone decided that it would be, okay? See, the deal is money has a value attached to it. And the value that it has attached to it is basically a concept. It's not real, it's just a concept. And what we've said is that this $100 bill can allow me $100 of something. It's really the power to purchase, right? It gives us the opportunity to receive certain things. So that's defined by the marketplace, right? Think about it this way. The marketplace decides how much money certain product is worth. The one that we see all the time plastered everywhere is gasoline, right? We see the prices all the time. So what are we seeing there? We're seeing values change, aren't we? The price of gasoline is this, but what it's really saying is that a certain amount of money, $10, $3, $2, whatever it might be, that affords you 1 gallon, right? So the marketplace defines money for us, correct? You ever heard the saying, if someone asks, well, how much should I get for it? How much should I charge for this? What's the answer? Whatever somebody will pay for it, right? That's the marketplace. It's whatever someone is willing to pay for. And our marketplace is jacked up because when gas dropped, I started to really get worried about the price of milk, right? High gas prices, I'm like, oh, a gallon of milk, not so bad. Now, dude, those are nice cows. They've got to be super nice. It's like $4 a gallon for milk. So the marketplace, and here's the thing, we'll buy it, right? We're not like, oh, boycott milk. So the marketplace says, if you're going to keep buying it, we're going to keep selling it, right? And I'm not getting into economics today, especially because I've got some very talented accountants sitting in the room, and they would own me, right? I am not an accountant. In fact, I'm not very good with money. And that's why this is a crazy sermon for me to preach. It's been super, super hard to prepare for this because I value money. Do you? Oh, yeah. See, the interesting thing, though, and this is what's so crazy, is the intrinsic value of your currency, which means the actual worth of the piece of paper that a bill is printed on, is near worthless. It's not worth hardly anything. In fact, your coins, like a coin is worth more than your $100 bill. That's called intrinsic value. How much is the actual piece of paper worth, the actual currency? And it's funny because we place so much value on paper, don't we? Because that's really what we're doing. You know, used to we had a gold standard. So basically we had gold to back up all this money. Every bill that's floating out there, there's gold to back it up. Now, it just is all about what the marketplace decides to charge you. It is one of the most unstable concepts in our world. But what makes the world go round? Money. Why? See, between the dollar bill, the $20 bill, and the $100 bill, there's not one of those that's more intrinsically valuable, has more worth, the actual paper, than the other. But why is one better than the other? Why do we see it as better? It's because, very much a pun intended here, the buck stops here, right? The buck stops with us. And what I mean by that is we define money's value, don't we? Yeah, the marketplace gives us an idea of what it might cost you. But when it comes down to it, it's you and it's me who says it's worth it, right? It's whatever I want is valuable enough for me to spend whatever they're asking. It's whatever you'll spend on it. So really, we define money's value. Me and you. But because the relationship with us and money is so complicated, it's so intricate and there's so many layers to it, I'll ask this question. Can we trust ourselves? Can we trust ourselves to define money's value? So let's see what God has to say about it. If you don't have a Bible with you today, our ushers are going to come around and give you one. Just shoot your hand up and they will hook you up. If you don't own a Bible, we would love for you to have one. Like, this is our gift to you. Take it home. Enjoy it. Read it. I promise that it's valuable, even though it's just paper and leather and ink. As there, we good? We got more people handing Bibles out? All right. If you would, let's do this. Let's stop and pray together. God, I just pray today that we would be open to hear what your word says. God, that we would be quick and willing to submit to it. God, I pray that when it reveals what it does about us, God, I pray that we would be quick to repent because you are kind. God, above all other things, I pray that we would leave this place proclaiming that Jesus is better. God, open up our eyes today. Give us light. It's in Jesus' name, amen. So, anybody want to leave yet? Talking about money. Anybody want to leave? Jesus talked about money all the time. Very, very often was Jesus talking about riches and wealth, and he's warning us about it and all this stuff. And I would dare to say that if we, here at the pastors of this church, preached as much about money as Jesus did, after a while, we probably wouldn't have a church to preach to, right? We'd run everybody off. And why is that even possible? Because money has power over us. There's something there. Something is going on. It's clear that money has power over us. You know why I know that? Because none of us like to hear about money, do we? None of us like to hear about this. I especially don't. That's why I'm glad I'm getting to talk. All right, let's do this. Y'all turn to Matthew 6, because this is what Jesus says about money. And we hope to answer a few questions. We're going to be in Matthew 6. We're going to be starting in verse 19. Three big questions today. So for you note takers, anybody out there a note taker? Woohoo! Rock on. We like notes. Three questions. They are this. How does money exercise power over us? It's pretty clear that it has power, okay? We're just going to assume this. How does money exercise its power over us? Second question, why does money have power over us? The third question, how do we break free from its power? How does money exercise power? Why does money have power? How do we break free from its power? Pretty simple, right? So let's read. We see in Matthew 6, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And today we start just kind of talking about money. This is kind of the first message in a whole kind of stream of a few weeks of talking about that. I was afraid to tell you because no one might show up next week, but that's what we're going to continue to talk about. But more specifically, later on, we're going to talk about stewardship and that concept in the Bible and what that means. Today, we're talking about something a little bit differently. Today, we got to kind of clear the air before we start talking about how we use the money that God has given us. Today, we've got to know that money can be a problem for us. So we can't put a Band-Aid on a open wound here. We've got to figure out how we can do some serious surgery on our hearts before we ever think about taking some medicine. All right? So this is where we start in Matthew 6. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, teaching his disciples. Starting in verse 19, it says this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Pretty strong statement, isn't it? And it's not clear, that last statement, you can't serve God and money. No one's going to go, well, I wonder what he means when he says that. It doesn't take a theologian to understand what that means. You can't do it. You either serve one or the other. You either love one. You can't love both. And so for some of us in here, that sounds pretty hardcore. I know for me it does, because I want to serve God. I love God. I know that he is good, but man, I serve money a whole lot. So I want to clean that up. I'm not really clean it up. I want to allow God to clean that up for me. Let me say that better. I don't want to be the person who tries to serve both. And that's why we ask these questions. And that's why we jump into this. So how does money have power over us? All right. All through the scriptures, we see warnings about money. All through the scriptures. It is crazy how much it's there. It warns us over and over and over. And I think that in these warnings is where we can find how it actually can gain a foothold in our lives, how it can actually have this power over us. And it is tricky. Man, it is subtle. It is dangerous. In fact, Jesus warns us in Luke 12:15, and this is from the NASB, the New American Standard. He says, then he said to them, beware. See that word? That's pretty telling. Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. So he's saying your life is not about what you have. So be aware. Be on guard against every form of greed. We see this warning there in Luke. And in Matthew, what we just read, tucked in there is also a warning. And for years, I've always wondered what this little passage means. And I believe it starts in verse 21, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, it starts in verse 22. We see before he's talked about where your treasures are. And then in the last part, he says you can't serve God and money. So we know these two little paragraphs. There's two paragraphs that are clearly talking about money. But there's this one in the middle where he says the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, right, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What are you talking about, Jesus? Money, money, lamps and eyeballs, right? For me, it's like coming out of left field, and I know it has some significance, otherwise it would not be in there. And so I've kind of made some assumptions over it through the past of what it might be. And then this week, as I continue to read about money and all the crazy places that it is in the scriptures, it's covering it. That should tell us something right there, how many times it's talked about. That should tell us something. But what Jesus is doing in this middle paragraph is he's giving us a warning about money, about greed, about materialism. Now, what is materialism? Right? What are we talking about? It's the desire for material things and possessions, and not a healthy desire, an inordinate desire for things, for possessions, for wealth. And I'd say that most of us have a struggle with it. And you say, nah, I might not have a struggle with it. But here's what Jesus warns us, and we can learn something about it. When he talks about the eye, he calls it the lamp of the body, right? And what he's basically saying is that through your eye, you receive light, right? That's how you can see, correct? If it's dark, can you see? No, you cannot. You ever been in a cave way down deep? You cannot see in the dark, right? You were not built to. So he's saying that the eye is the lamp of the body. It's what lights up the rest of the body. It's what allows the rest of the body to see what's going on. It's kind of like the camera lens, right? It's kind of like the filter that we see everything through. So how we perceive this entire world, he's saying your eye is the first place that that starts. And so what he's saying, if you have a good eye, if you have a healthy eye, your whole body will be healthy. Because it will let light in and there will be light inside of you, right? But what he's saying is if you have a bad eye, one that's not healthy, you'll be full of darkness. And a bad eye is an eye that even if you are in a room full of light, glowing full of light, you still can't see it, okay? So what he's saying is that this is a perception issue. What you perceive is important. Here's an example of perception. The dress. Man, don't y'all want to talk about it? Come on! The dress. I have a feeling that the dress will be the author of many a divorce this week. I saw argument after argument. My husband says it's this, but I say it's this. I just don't see it. It's like, why do you care? I'm not... Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah, I did open it. It's closed. Okay. Perception is everything, isn't it? What we believe to be true is based off how we perceive something, right? I believe that that dress is this color because that's what I saw. You can't tell me different. I see that it's that color. If you're wrong, then you'll never admit that you are because dadgummit, that's what I see. And seeing is believing, right? Seeing is believing. But what Jesus is saying is that seeing is not always believing because maybe your eye isn't healthy. Maybe your eye is dark. Maybe you're blind, but you don't know it. See, the reason that Jesus inserts this here is because he knows something that we don't. And that is that greed, this power that money has over us, is different, way different. It's pretty unique as sins go. See, what greed does is it blinds us. It darkens our eye spiritually. You hear that? It darkens our eye and it changes the way that we view everything. The lens changes. And here's the craziest part. And this is why it's so, so like important for us, for Jesus to say this and us to understand what it is. It, greed, will hide itself from you. Think about this. A parasite, just the word, like you think about a leech. Oh gosh. Tapeworms. Oh no. Now, you know, what is the best thing that a parasite can do to live, to survive, and to have a good life? To never let its host know that it's there. I'll say that again. The way that a parasite can survive, the way that it can flourish, the way that it can really do well is to make sure and ensure that its host never knows it's there. See, greed hides itself. Greed is a sin. It darkens our eye spiritually. And what it does is it leaves us saying, when you hear someone say, you have a problem with greed, the one thing that you do and the first thing that you do is you say, not me. Maybe you don't even hear somebody say that. Maybe it's right now sitting in your seat and I'm talking about the power money has over us and you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't struggle with this. Money doesn't really have power over me. It's not a big deal. Well, what Jesus is warning you against is that you are being deceived. It has blinded you to itself and it's probably eating away at who you are, controlling your life in way after way and situation after situation, and you'll never know it's there. See, greed darkens your eye. It gives you a sick eye. It's not like the other sins, right? It's a sin of the eye. It darkens us. It blinds us. We've got to know that that's how it exercises its power over us. Otherwise, we'll never ask, do I struggle with this? Otherwise, we'll never go, man, I need to think about this as a problem. No, we don't think about it. We don't ask about it because we don't want to. And really deep down inside, we believe that we don't have the problem. Because you know why? They have the problem. They have the problem. They have more stuff than me. They're rich. I'm not rich. Well, let's face it. Who's going to admit that they're rich? Would any of you go, yeah, I am loaded, y'all. I am rich. No, you know why? Because there's always somebody more richer. Well, except for like three or four people, and they're going, yeah, I'm rich. Yeah, I got it. But there's always somebody more rich. And so what we do when we hear money has power over you, you go, no, I don't. Look at how they live. Look at how they spend. Look at the money, the power that money has over them. It doesn't have power over me. It's blinded you and darkened your eye, and you're full of darkness. It's concealed itself and hidden itself so that you'll continue to go on through life being drained dry by greed. Guys, I struggle with this. This has been the hardest sermon to prepare for that I've ever prepared for. You know why? Because I've been so stinking convicted. I felt like, man, on Sunday when I get up there, I'm going to be a hypocrite. Not I might be one. I will be one. And I stand in front of you saying, I am a hypocrite. I am not doing well with this right now. I'm not living this out. Greed has been hiding itself. And every single time I've approached the scriptures this week and I've read it, I'm going, yeah, that's what they need to hear. And the thing is I've never said that's what I need to hear because greed's darkened my eye. It's blinded me. It's hid itself from me. I want to say everyone else has this problem, but not me. I'm good. I don't make a lot of money. I don't have nice things. I can't go buy stuff. Please, we're the wealthiest society in the world. Every single other society in this world looks at us and goes, man, they don't spend their money well. I'm disappointed when our second car doesn't work well. You know? And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty today. At all. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you, then yay, rah, go for it. But I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here to say, I am a hypocrite. I struggle with this greatly. And that's why Jesus is warning us. That's why he warns us, because this is subtle. You might not know it's there. You're going to make every excuse, because this greed that lives inside of you, it wants to survive. It wants to live and flourish. It's so much different than other sins. Think about it this way. You never heard Jesus say, watch out, beware. You might be committing adultery, right? Why? If you're committing adultery, you know you're committing adultery, right? Like, no one ever said, oh, hey, you're not my wife. Like, no one says that. You know that you're doing it. Greed is not that way. It's not that way at all. We don't even consider that we might be greedy. We don't ask. We just don't even think we are. A symptom of this sin is to believe, I'm sure that it's not true of me. Beware against every form of greed. It can darken your eye. We see it in the way we choose jobs. Job's not going to make me too happy, but it pays really well. Then what happens? 3 years later, you're miserable. It doesn't satisfy. We see it in the way that people conduct business. We know that there's companies in this world that do not operate for the good of society, right? We know there's people out there, like businesses out there, that they put gain, they put wealth and prosperity above the good of neighborhoods, communities, cities, even their employees. We know this is true. It's really easy to look at them and judge them, but let me ask you a question. The way that you go and work and conduct yourself, whether you own a business or whether you work at one, would you say that you don't do things that are harmful? That you don't do things like, I deserve more than this. They're awful. I'm better than this. That you don't hurt people even though they might not know you're hurting them. You don't have anger against people. All because money. And this is where it's going to get a little bit touchy. So hang with me through this. Please know that I am needing to hear this too. Symptom of this sin is very apparent in our lifestyle. It has serious power over us, and we know it because we look at how we live, and it's pretty clear. We never want to ask the question, am I spending my money well? I'm not rich. I'm not rich. Yeah, I might spend some money on this or on that, and I might not necessarily need that, but hey, I'm not rich. I'm not spending like they're spending. I'm better than that, okay? I don't spend my money like them. I'm good to go. I don't have a problem. Think about this. This is proof that money has power over us. You ever heard of a faux pas, right? You know what a faux pas is? It's a social no-no, right? That's pretty much what it is. It's a no-no. You don't do this in society. What's one of the biggest ones? Someone walks up to someone else and says, hey, how much do you make? What? That ever happened to you at a party or something? Where like someone asks that question to the person next to them and like everything is crickets. Everyone's like, oh, but you want to know. You didn't ask them, but you kind of want to know. But we don't do that. In our society, that's not good to do, right? That's not something that's acceptable with us. I had a buddy, he's a musician, and a lot of times musicians, we can kind of ask that question back and forth, how much do you make? Because a lot of times we got to know, like, what would we charge to go do that? Or what's the going rate for studio musician or for a, you know, whatever it might be. There's a lot of questions there. And every time you'd ask him, he would completely dodge the question. I mean, it's crazy. Hey, man, just so you know, how much does that gig pay? Oh, man, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen. What? What? Hey, bro, if you don't mind me asking, how much did that cymbal cost there? It's a great sounding cymbal. How much was it? Oh, man, more than I deserve, brother. Amen. I'm like, dude, just answer my question. Stop being a space cadet. He didn't want me to ask. He didn't want me to know. Why? Because money is revealing. What we spend our money on reveals something very, very close to us. And the reason that is because we've put it there. What would you do if someone walked up to you and said, hey, I don't think that you should spend your money that way? Dems is fighting words, amen? If someone walked up to you, maybe it's somebody you just met, and they walked up to you and said, hey, I saw your car out there, and really, I think that's too much car for you. You spent too much on that, I know. What would you say? That ain't none of your business. I'll spend my money how I want. You can't tell me how to spend my money. Christian, do you hear that? We ask, and some of us don't, and I encourage you to if you don't, but we ask people, other Christians all the time, hey man, I'm really struggling with lust. Could you help me out? Could you hold me accountable to that? Hey, I'm really struggling with anger right now. Could you help me out and tell me that Jesus is better than my anger? I don't have to be angry. Hey, I'm really struggling through depression or loss right now. I need you to help me, support me. I can't go through this alone. I don't know the right path to walk. Everything that's happening to me is clouding my vision. I need you to walk beside me and help me walk this through, live this out. I don't want to struggle with depression anymore. I need you. I need you to help. When have you ever, ever done that when it comes to money? Never. I haven't. You know why? Because they can have everything else about me. They ain't touching that. That's some serious power in my life, isn't it? That's a serious stronghold in me. If I won't let anyone say anything to me about it, Christians, you need people in your life that you give permission to ask the questions. Hey, should you have made money that way? Should you have done that business deal that seemed a little off? Should you have spent your money on that? Man, I know what you're thinking right now. Because I'm thinking the exact same thing. I do not want to hear that. Do you want to hear it? Be honest. No. If you do, then man, I'll need to sit down with you and learn from you. I'll tell you the other thing is you're going, well, you're sitting there going, this is great. He's telling us, yeah, that might be true. It's just a sermon. I'm going to go through my life, though. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. It'll be next week's sermon, and then I'll listen to that. I'll just kind of pass it off. Here's the deal. This is the truth. And a lot of us are going to say, hey, I'm just not going to. I'm not going to do it. He's right, maybe. God's right about this, but I'm not going to do this. Sounds great, but that's for somebody else to do. And that's why Jesus is warning us. That's why he has to warn us. Greed and money has darkened your eye. You can't see what's good for you anymore. In fact, you want to push people away because you want to make sure that they don't talk about it. Why? Because I don't have a problem with it. I don't, and it's not for you to say to me, see the great power that money has over us? I know you can identify with something I just said. I wholeheartedly struggle with that in every single way. I'm quick to confess sin, but that one I've never confessed. I've been in vocational ministry for over a decade. You know what? I've never had someone come in for counseling and say, you know, I'm struggling with greed. Never happened. Everything else, never had that happen. Have you had that happen? Like, I really want to let someone know I'm struggling with greed. No, because our eyes dark and we don't see it. Let's move on. Why does it have power over us? Why does money have this power over us? Jesus says, verse 21. This is a good one, by the way. This is one of those big ones. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The reason that money can have power over us is because Jesus is saying that it's a heart issue. This isn't a surface level issue. This is to your core. This is getting down to brass tacks of who you really are, what you really desire. And when we talk about the heart, that word desire and longing kind of come out of it, right? We think about the words love and things like that. And what Jesus is saying, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you treasure something, your heart will be fully devoted to that thing. In fact, it's easy for us to be able to see. If you were to look at the receipts, if you will, in your life, where you actually spend money, you could probably chase down what you care most about. Think about it. For instance, I spend not too much money, sweetheart, if you're in here, on hunting stuff. She's probably in the cryo room back there, sharpening a knife or something like that. I don't know. I haven't spent all that much on hunting stuff this year. But it's because I love hunting, right? I love getting out there. I love doing things. I'm a sucker for the newest stuff. It's all these things. But because I'm so passionate about the great outdoors and hunting, fishing, that kind of stuff, I am willing to put my money towards it. I treasure it, therefore my money goes to it. Money will definitely and quickly show us where our heart truly rests. And the reason that money has power over us, the why, here's the answer. It's because what money has to offer us. Yeah, it can buy us the possessions. It can buy me all my hunting gear. Not that much, honey, I promise. It's not that much. It can buy us all those things, but that's not the only thing that it has to offer us, is it? See, it promises us power, security, control, worth, status, approval, comfort, a solution to our problems. It also promises us that it can provide for us, that it can deliver us and protect us, that it can benefit us greatly and give us value. Heck, we even think that it can save us. There was a man, his name was Solomon. I'm not going to get into it because I don't have time. He was rich, richer than anybody who'd ever lived in Israel. He was the most respected king in the world. In fact, the temple that he built to God was one of the seven wonders of the world. At one point, Jerusalem was the center of this entire world, and it's because of what Solomon had and did. God, he prayed for wisdom, and God gave it to him, and then he also gave him everything else that he didn't ask for, like riches and wealth and everything that he could want. Solomon had everything. Literally, he had everything. He was rich, buddy. He could say, I'm rich. I'm wealthy. He got everything that he wanted. He had everything that money had to offer. And some of us want to buy into what money has to offer, don't we? And for some of you, it's significance. You base your very identity and your worth in how much money you have. Say something like this: I need money to make me feel valuable. Because if I appear wealthy, then I'm actually worth something. I'll be approved, right? And here's an example. The way that we view people who are rich is a good test in this. Because what we end up doing is we go, man, they're rich, they're greedy, I'm better than them. We just allowed money to define our worth better than the rich person. This is the one. Y'all ready? Dropping a bomb. The way you look at poor people. Somewhere in us, I don't know why, when we look at someone who is poor, think homeless people, but think other people. I think other people too. How often do you go, and very kindly, but how often do you go, here, take this, and on the inside you're going the whole time, I'm better than them. And your only reason for coming up with that is because you have more money than they do. That's it. As a person, you're no different than they are. Yeah, you've made different choices, taken different roads, whatever it might be. But you are basing your worth and theirs on the fact that you have more money. Your socioeconomic status to you is giving you significance. You're allowing money to identify you. I'm better than them, and I'm better than them. So if you're the person who seeks for approval, who seeks worth, you struggle with you being worthy, then trust me, greed, whether you know it or not, because it's blinded us, is tapping away at that concept in you. Man, if you just have more stuff, if you just have more money, I promise that you're going to be better. You're going to be worth something. You're going to be valuable, and people are going to see it, and they're going to love you because of it. For some of you, it's significance. And when we look at the rich person, we become arrogant and say we're better. And when we look at the poor person, we become arrogant and say we're better. It messes up our relationships and how we see certain things. For some of you, it's security. That's what money has to offer you. It's why it has power over you, for security. And this is what you say. You say, I need money so I'm safe. Anybody like that? See, if I have a little bit more money, then I'm going to have control in an uncontrollable world. I can't handle all this chaos, so money is going to afford me security. It'll give me the control that I need. For some of us, it's a problem solver. This is me. Bills start piling up. You don't know where it's going to come from. Tough stuff. Stuff is hard. Something bad's happened, an accident, whatever it might be. And you say this in your heart, if I had more money, my problems would disappear. That's what we say, isn't it? If I just had a little more, then all these things would fade away. Because it's going to set me free from the bills. It's going to set me free from these things. It's going to give me comfort, and I need to be comforted because I feel burdened. It's going to give me peace because I haven't been able to rest. It surely will give me peace. All hope is lost unless I have just a little more money, and then everything will be okay. Is that you? It's me. Here's the dilemma. The dilemma is this. This is what really is the problem and why money's so dangerous. It's because money actually seems to deliver on a lot of the promises. It'll actually give you some significance here and now on this earth. It will give you that. It will give you security, won't it? It'll solve a lot of problems, won't it? Heck, money makes the world go round. You have some money, you have power. You have money, you have control over things. You have money and you have significance and approval. It actually delivers. Hey, it seems true for Solomon. He had everything. Money gave him everything. It opened doors that no king has ever had since. And that's why it has so much power. Because more than anything else, it is easy for us to replace God with money. You know why? It can give us exactly what we need in the here and now. The exact same things that God promises to provide for us. It can actually deliver on some of that right here and right now, can't it? Provision, protection, care, it can deliver. And that's the reason there's so many warnings through all of Scripture about money. And it's why Jesus said that we can't serve God and money, because money is quick to be our God. And God says, there is none other than me. I am the one and the only God. You can't love one. You can't love both. You love one and despise the other because they're so easily alike. See, money's a copycat. The question is, which one should we serve? This is going back to the beginning of the message, and we're almost wrapping up. We serve the better one, the one that has more value. See, the power of money promises to give you significance. But really, the fact is, it makes you arrogant. Or it makes you bitter. And no one likes someone who's arrogant or bitter, do they? So really, it leaves you altogether insignificant. See, it delivers the opposite of what you want from it. The power of money promises to give you security. But let's face it, it can't stop anything bad from happening to you, can it? If you amass a bunch of wealth, there's nothing that it can do to stop a car accident. A meteor, I don't know. It can't stop that, can it? Jesus says later on in Matthew 6 that it cannot add a minute to your life. It can't give you control in an uncontrollable world, because the world is God's and he is the one who's in control. See, God is better. He is more valuable. He can actually pull through on the things that money promises you to do. And I'm not saying don't save your money. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but if you save money because you find security in it, control in it, then you're worshiping it. And Paul says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The power of money promises to solve problems, to grant freedom, to give you peace and hope. But there will always be problems, won't there? We'll always need more. That's the issue. We'll always need more because of more problems. We'll never have enough. And God bless him, our notorious B.I.G., our close friend, said, "Mo money, mo problems." And it is true. Rest in peace, Biggs. More money, more problems, right? It's true. We see Solomon eventually say something about that. It's because we'll never get enough. It'll never satisfy us. More money, more problems. More problems, less freedom. Less peace and no hope. The proof, we'll find it here. Ecclesiastes 4. If you would, John, skip to like verse 9 or so. Sorry, this is Ecclesiastes 2, not 4. My bad. So I became great. This is Solomon talking, by the way, the guy who had everything. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. See the eye thing there? I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. This was my reward for all my toil. This is what he was given for everything that he'd done. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, this is a reward. It was all vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. The only thing that money delivered to him was vanity, uselessness. And he said that all my work amounted to trying to catch the wind. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, he says this too. Hear this. This is clear as bell. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. See, Solomon, with all of his amassed wealth and all the work that he did to get it, he said it's useless. He said it's like trying to catch the wind because he realized it wouldn't matter in the end. He would still die. It would end up being left to someone else to take his place. He definitely couldn't take it with him, could he? So it left him unsatisfied and joyless. And let me tell you, folks, what we really are longing for is satisfaction and joy. That's what we're really looking for. And those types of things are eternal things. But money's promises have deceived us because money can't deliver anything that's of eternal value. It's only offering what's here and now. It's not offering forever stuff. And that's why God alone can deliver this eternal type of reward, satisfaction, joy, and everything else we might need. See, he's valuable, but money has power over us because we think it's more valuable. It has more to offer us, but it will fail you. It will leave you unsatisfied. It will be the parasite that drains you dry. Beware of every form of greed. And let's finish it with this. How can we break free from its power? All right, Nathan, you've convinced me. It has power over me. Now tell me what to do. This is it. How can we break free from money's power? And Jesus clearly says it here in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So he says, don't store up treasures on earth. I'm like, oh, okay, what's that mean? Here's kind of what it means a little bit. What he's saying is, don't treasure earthly treasure. Treasure heavenly treasure. Don't put your value in earthly things. Put your value in heavenly things. That's how you can break free from the power of money. See, everybody at the very center of who they are, the center of their soul, they treasure something, don't they? Now, to treasure something means to look at something and fill your heart with the beauty and the value of it. So to treasure something is to say that if I have this one thing, everything will be worth it. And if I have it, I'm worth it. Think about this. This is a good example from one of the greatest books ever written. God bless J.R.R. Tolkien for The Lord of the Rings. And in The Lord of the Rings, there's a ring. Go figure. And this ring has great power. And whoever holds on to this ring craves to have it. It becomes obsessed with it. It's worth more than anything around them. Introducing our new friend, Gollum. Anybody know who Gollum is? Yeah, you do. That's my boy. You be nerdy and proud. Rock on! Thank you, Blake Young. You made me brave. Gollum, little critter, you can go watch the movie. But the deal is he has this ring for a long, long, long time, and it's eating away at him slowly. It's destroying everything that he was and who he is. It's starting to consume him, but still, what does he call it? My precious, right? He calls it the precious. And everybody who ever possesses this ring eventually calls it their precious because it's their treasure. It's the thing that they put the most value in, and they'll do anything to keep it. They'll do anything to have it. And what it shows us that whatever we treasure, you're enslaved to that. It gets everything that you are, so you are its slave because you'll do anything to get it because it's the only thing that's worth it to you. And here's the deal. The Bible says that every treasure except for Jesus will insist that you die to purchase it. But Jesus is the only treasure that died to purchase you. Anything else that you make your supreme value will say, die for me. But Jesus valued you enough to die for you. So how do we break free from the power of money? We make Jesus our treasure. He's the great treasure. That's what Jesus means when he says treasure things on in heaven. Heavenly treasure is him. He's talking about himself. We make Jesus our treasure. So this is how you make Jesus your treasure. This, I know this sounds simple, but please, this is so important. Listen to it. You think about what he did with his treasure. He gave up his treasure. He lived in heaven. He had everything. It was perfect. And he took on the form of a man, of a servant. And he came and he suffered. He gave up all the riches of heaven to come down and be murdered, never accepted, and mocked. He gave up his treasure. That's what he did with it. That's what we think about. Why did he give it up? See, he died for something precious to him. He looked at us and he said, they're worth it. Whatever it takes, even if I die, even if I go to hell, it'll be worth it because they are worth it. That's all I need to be satisfied is them. And we see it in Isaiah 53, prophesied about Jesus. It says when he saw the result of his suffering, he was satisfied. It was worth everything that he went through. And today I'm here to say this. You are God's treasure. And if you know that God treasures you, that and that alone will free you from money. Free you from everything. Really quickly, here's a way you can know you're freed from money's power. Listen to these. I'm going to run through them quick. You think about it. Do I struggle with this? You ask the question, do I have a greed or a money issue? You desire and ask other people to speak into your life. It changes the way that you work. Changes the way that you spend and what you spend it on. It changes the way that you save. You start seeing anxiety and worry disappear. You don't look down on rich people. You don't look down on poor people. Basically, money becomes a non-issue to you. But here we go. Here's the biggest reason. The biggest reason. Or the biggest way you can know you're set free from the power of money. Here it is. You get really generous. When money doesn't have power over you, give it away. See, when Jesus said, if your eye is good, then the rest of your body will be healthy, be good. See, the word in Greek for good can also mean generous. See it in Hebrews as well. So what he's saying is the person who finds their treasure in Jesus and is free from the power of money gets a good eye, a generous eye. And that means that you're always looking for opportunities to give away. to give away to the church, to the poor, to the needy, to your neighbor. Wherever there might be need, you're willing to give away because money is just money. Your eye is good. You see it for what it is. So the big question is how much? And now you're sitting there going, yeah, I knew he'd get to it. He's going to ask us for money. I don't need your money. Haven't I already proved that I will not do well if you just hand me lots of money? I'll worship it. I don't want it. It's bad for me. And God doesn't need it, by the way. He doesn't need money. He wants your heart. He wants to be your treasure because he knows that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's saying, I want you to give away because I want you to see that you don't need it. You need me. So the big question is, how much do I give? And we're going to be talking about this over the next few weeks. We're going to be digging into this. But this is what I'm going to say, because a lot of people say we tithe, right? We give 10%. And that's a good round number. But let me be quite honest, that 10% is not a New Testament model. Tithing is not. You see it being way more cheerful giving. But the big thing is this. We can know how much we need to give by looking at what Jesus did. Because when he treasured you sacrificially. And what that means is that you have to give money and stuff away that sacrifices your lifestyle. Boy, does that sting. I don't want to hear it. And I need someone's help to tell me that I do. I'm inviting any of you, seriously. We look to him. For some people, 10% is not a sacrifice of their lifestyle. For some people, it is. I mean, Jesus, he's standing at the temple and all these rich people are showing off how much money they're putting in the plate. And then this widow comes up and gives two copper coins worth absolutely nothing. And he says, she gave the most. It's all she had to live on. She gave the most. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is like a buried treasure that a man finds in a field and he leaves to sell all of his possessions so that he can come back and buy the whole field because it's worth it. Guys, we don't look to the tithe for how much we should give. We look to the cross. Let's remember that as we move forward through the next few days. I finish with this. Hope in God, not in money. It's going to let you down. It's going to fail you. It's going to take you to the very end of your life to see it. Unless you start now. Know this, that God delivers and money doesn't. Only God satisfies, money doesn't. Only God can give you joy, money can't. And nothing money can offer you can give you true joy. Only God can. So I ask you the question, which one is better? Which one is more valuable? That's the one who we will serve. That is what we define today as valuable. So let's join in with Paul when he says that I count all things loss. All things that I have is lost. They're insignificant to me because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. Today, if you're in this place and you've never treasured Christ, it might be the first time you've ever heard it. Know this, that he's treasured you. And know that today you can know him. You can know his worth and his value. He died in your place. He lived the life you never could so that you could be treasured. And he'll add everything to it. And I'm not trying to make it sound like a cakewalk, but I will say this. You will never be satisfied with anything on this earth, but you will be satisfied in Christ. Today you could believe in him. Church, let's take this to heart, okay? Let's know that we've got an issue. Let's not be afraid to talk about this anymore. Let's not be afraid to live boldly for God and not for money. Let's pray.